Greetings, I'm Bill Kleitke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Sharon Goldsmith, who's Executive Director of the Pro Bono Resource Center of Maryland. And Sharon's here today to talk to us about the various things that they're working on to try to make Baltimore and this area better, such as immigrant assistance, home preservation, and water justice. So, Sharon, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you so much for coming. I know you're busy, and this is good because you're working for all of us. And this is the second or third interview I've done with Pro Bono Resource Center over the years. And so I know how much you folks are getting done, and so it's an honor. First of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, could you tell us a little bit about the center?
Absolutely. The impetus for the creation of the Pro Bono Resource Center of Maryland was a legal needs study that was done across the state, finding that 80% of Maryland's low-income population were denied access to legal assistance.
And
80%. So at that time, the court was considering different options, one of which was to mandate legal services for all lawyers. And the Maryland State Bar Association decided to work on a major campaign instead to increase volunteer participation among lawyers, everybody, you know, in the profession to really try to help close that gap. So they embarked on a very successful campaign, had thousands of lawyers say that they were willing and interested in volunteering, and created the Pro Bono Resource Center to help implement that program and integrate the lawyers.
So there's not a requirement that folks do pro bono, right?
There's not an absolute requirement, but there is a professional responsibility. It is an expectation as a lawyer that you provide pro bono or free legal services for people who can't afford to access legal help. And there's an aspirational standard of 50 hours a year. And I can say I'm proud to say that about 22% of the lawyers in Maryland actually do meet that 50-hour aspirational goal.
Wow, one in five. That's impressive.
And almost 50% actually report that they do some pro bono work throughout the year. So, and it's primarily to people of limited means. There's it also counts to help, you know, in civil rights or other
environmental
other marginalized communities.
Oh, that's wonderful. How can someone find out more information?
They can go to our website at www.probonomd.org or probono.org. Or contact our office, and all the information is on the website.
Okay, and telephone?
Sure.
People still use it.
410-837-9379.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you. And as executive director, your job is to make sure everything works, right?
That is my job.
What's your background?
I was...
You from Baltimore?
I am from Baltimore, born and bred. And after I finished law school, I worked for a judge in Baltimore City for 2 years as a judicial clerk. And then I went to a private law firm for 2 years. And I decided that was a great opportunity, but my heart was really in public interest work. So after I was able to do some pro bono work for the firm, I decided there were many other people who probably would also love to become engaged in meaningful volunteer work as lawyers, but it wasn't very easy to find those opportunities. And I thought, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to be able to exponentially increase the number of lawyers involved? And at the same time, the Maryland State Bar Association was looking to start this program of coordinating volunteer civil legal services across the state and recruiting attorneys and training. And I interviewed for the job, and as they say, the rest is history.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, the Bar Association is to be commended. Is to be commended in organizing this to begin with, and to be supporting it over the years.
Absolutely. And I am thrilled to announce that January 16th of 2020 is our actual 30th anniversary.
Wonderful. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. Now, let's talk about more about your services. You said about 22% of lawyers participate.
So 22% actually met the 50 hours or more per year,
right.
But close to 50% actually report doing pro bono work. And what you need to understand is that Maryland is one of only a handful of states that actually requires lawyers to report their volunteer hours. Most states across the country don't. We were the second state in the country to require reporting, mandatory reporting of your pro bono time. If you can't do pro bono, you still have to report that you didn't do it. So the Court of Appeals, our highest court, receives notice from every single licensed attorney in the state every year as to how much pro bono work they're doing.
So perhaps then, if somebody's being considered, if there's a opening for a judge or something like that, pro bono work would be considered, possibly.
I think that is possible. I think that there certainly is an interest, I would imagine, in our system to ensure that those who are joining the bench have some kind of community public service background, and doing volunteer work as a lawyer is so critical that that does play a part, I would hope.
Yeah, I would hope. That's wonderful. I know that you folks, as we mentioned earlier, are concentrating on a couple of areas. Could you talk about those, please?
Sure. One of the things that we have done over the years is really look at areas of unmet need or emerging need in the community where services are not being provided or are just clearly insufficient. In the during the foreclosure crisis in 2008, we were asked by the chief judge of the court and the state to coordinate a foreclosure prevention project using our volunteers and all the volunteer resources we could muster. So we coordinated a massive foreclosure prevention pro bono project with faith-based groups, with elected officials, with other legal services and nonprofits. And it was extremely successful. We recruited over 1,400 lawyers and trained them in foreclosure prevention and then deployed them to other legal services, nonprofits, and in the community. So we started a model of legal clinics in the community. We called them foreclosure solutions workshops and were able to help hundreds and thousands of homeowners save their homes through the process or at least have what we call a soft landing so they wouldn't lose their property without any thing afterwards. So that was a very successful model. We then moved on using that. We started to recognize as we were in the community that people were losing their homes, particularly in Baltimore City, because of back property taxes and water bills, other utility bills. So we became very active and started legal clinics just focusing on tax sale because many people didn't understand that they could lose their home through a tax sale process with a lien on their properties for, at the time, $200, $300 in back property taxes or a water bill that could be wrong. So we started looking at that, and now we have lawyers sit down with clients in these legal clinics in their communities, helping them navigate that and protecting against them losing those properties. We've also been involved in legislation, and as you probably know, in the city and state level, it's been very gratifying to know that we've been able to help push legislation to increase the threshold and then actually not have people lose their homes just because of a water bill. So that's been a huge...
That was a real step forward,
a huge impact. Sure, absolute step forward. And then, you know, so some of this grows organically. We tried to listen to the community, see what the needs are. In a total different arena, we started an immigration project in the immigration court. And that was really to help recruit and train lawyers, again, to deploy them to other nonprofits that work in immigration legal services like Catholic Charities and Kind and Tahare. And in addition to providing lawyers who are trained for them, we now staff the immigration court twice a week with lawyers and staff lawyers and volunteers and volunteer interpreters and law students to help people navigate and just get their stories and triage to see if they have some legitimate claim or status that we can pursue or help others pursue for them. We call every single client afterwards and make sure they connected with a legal resource if we can find them.
Great.
So it's a tremendous service. One thing I've found interesting is that we are the only ones there that that are bilingual. So the staff are frequently asking us to help translate or interpret for people coming. So it's really critical that we have a presence in the immigration court. And they've been extremely welcoming. The court has been really wonderful in supporting our program.
That's great. That's great. I'm sure that most folks don't understand the variety of legal challenges that are involved in the whole immigration area.
It's true. It's one of our most chaotic clinics, yeah, I have to say, yeah, because we're there. We could have 50, 60, 70 people appear at clinic or appear in the court, not know where to go, what their options are. Many of them have trouble with articulating in English what they're looking for. So we really help navigate for them, literally bringing them to the right courtroom, telling them where they need to go, where they need to file their papers. And then we make an announcement before the judge takes the bench to say, we are lawyers here. We have free legal services. If you choose to participate in the program, we will take you to another room and you can meet privately with a lawyer. And they provide some space for us to do that. And it's amazing the stories you hear. They're chilling. They're horrific. But these are what people are going through every day.
Yeah. 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 Unfortunately, I think that like the old donor fatigue and interest fatigue thing is probably working among all the stories of immigrants and the problems that they're facing. And well, they've been from the roundup to the midnight knocks on the door to the separation of children, small children from their parents, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it's still going on.
It is still going on, and it's overwhelming. And I don't know that people appreciate, we're not a border state, but we have the highest number of kids from Central America coming to Maryland per capita in the country.
Wow. And so more families are coming here then.
Lots of the children are unaccompanied. Uh-huh. And typically they try to send a child out of danger. It's due to gangs and drugs and violence, threats on their family and their life. And they send them to Maryland to a relative or a distant friend, someone who they hope will then be able to care for them and allow them to stay in a safe place. And we're trying to secure that kind of safety and for them. We have asylum seekers, obviously. We're just starting a program to try to help with some asylum applications. We just need more resources, obviously, more attorneys, more volunteers to help us with that. But it's a huge issue. There are something like 19,000 unaccompanied children in the court system.
Wow. What a shame. Speaking of which, what can our listeners do to help?
We have so many different projects, so we would welcome anyone who is an attorney, knows an attorney, is a neighbor who's an attorney, please suggest to them, recommend to them that they look to volunteer with one of our programs. Mm-hmm. We are familiar with all of the different volunteer opportunities, and it can be very short term. It can be going to a community clinic or going to court for 2 hours or 3 hours a day. It can be a telephone hotline. It can be writing articles. It can be a free legal answers online that we administer.
Lots of choices.
Encourage your lawyer friends to get involved and do some pro bono. That would be number one. Number two is, I guess, if there are others who are not lawyers but who would like to volunteer, particularly in our immigration work, we could use bilingual volunteers in lots of different ways, particularly in the court. And we have notaries for our home preservation work. I didn't talk about that because there's so much, but part of our home preservation project also includes estate planning, drafting wills, powers of attorney, and medical advance directives for seniors. And
very needed.
We do that all in one fell swoop, in one sitting. So we have volunteer notaries who come and help just notarize so that the documents are done. They leave with everything already completed.
That's great.
So
that's great.
Non-lawyers can help as well. And then, of course, since I'm not a nonprofit, I have to suggest that if people would like to contribute funding to us, we are always very appreciative of that as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today on Living in Baltimore. Sharon, could you give us that contact information one more time, please?
Absolutely. Our telephone number is 410-837-9379. And our website is probonomd.org.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Our guest today has been Sharon Goldsmith, Executive Director of the Pro Bono Resource Center of Maryland. Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
We will.
And for Living in Baltimore, thanks for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.